A scripture reading for this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And that's found on page 1063 in your pew Bibles. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above all the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 46. That's found on page 1545 in your pew Bibles. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with the handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, "My master is staying away a long time," and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it. Can I have the children join me up front this morning? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
One more try. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, there you go. Are any of you Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts? You're a Boy Scout? All right, then I have a test for you, Zachary. Let's see if you know it. What's the Boy Scout motto? Do your best? Okay, that wasn't the information I was given. Cub Scouts is different than Boy Scouts.
Right.
Oh, no. Well, I was only a Cub Scout, but I don't remember any of that. All right. Well, the information I was given was that the motto for the Cub Scout or the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts is to be prepared. Have you guys ever been told to be prepared for anything before? For camp? You got to be prepared for stuff. Got to have all your clothing, get your tents ready, and your bathing suit. You don't want to be without that if you're going swimming. Well, today is a very special day in the church that we're getting prepared for Christmas. As you can see, all the decorations were put up this past week, and everything's all beautiful, and it looks like we're getting ready for Jesus' birth, and that's what we're going to remember on Christmas. But on the first Sunday in Advent, we're remembering another coming of Jesus, and that's the promise that he gave us that he's going to come in the future. And what he told us about that moment when he's going to come back in the future is that then everything's going to be put right,
All the problems in the world are going to be fixed. All the evil is going to be taken out of the world, and God will rule. But Jesus never told us when that day is going to happen. So he told us that we have to be prepared no matter what day it is, because it could be today, tomorrow, or it could be years and years from now, when our grandchildren and great-grandchildren are alive. We just don't know when it's going to be. But we have to always be prepared and be ready to know Jesus and accept him when he comes and be doing the things on earth that he taught us to do, to be loving people, to be following him and obeying his commandments. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank you for the promise that your son is coming back and that at that point, all things will be made right once again. We just pray that we can be ready for that moment to come and not be caught off guard because we weren't expecting you today, but knowing that you can come at any moment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. See me after worship. I'll have snacks for everybody.
Hey, I was singing that one by myself. I'm just saying.
Well, we enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think our good singers must be at home watching Charles Stanley or something. But today marks the beginning of Advent. What a disappointment that we can't all start it together, but the weather is what the weather is. But it's a time of preparation, a time of going towards the coming again of the Messiah, a time of great expectation and great anticipation. We are not so expectant and excited this morning, but if we had a full contingent, we'd be pumped this morning, I'm just saying. But we have to ask ourselves on days like today, just exactly what are we anticipating? You know, what are we getting ready for? What do we really expect to happen? Do we anticipate the end of the world, which we are reminded of on this Sunday every time this time of year? Are we preparing our hearts and spirits to receive again the coming of the Christ child into the world? Or are we preparing for yet another month-long exercise in over-the-top consumerism that some have called economic first-degree murder, which is with willful and malice aforethought murdering our bank accounts? Or maybe we're getting ready for that 7 to 10 pounds that the average American will gain during this season, and Lord, help me be an underachiever this year. Or are we preparing for the suicidal traffic jams in Reading and Allentown and the general attitude of surliness and desperation that seems to permeate the populace this time of year? Are we getting ready for the depression and the anxiety and even the rage that accompanies a secular holiday season? Yeah, if we allow ourselves to get caught up in the consumer Christmas, and I firmly believe Americans celebrate two separate events on December 25th, we can easily find ourselves, if we are caught up in that consumer Christmas, we can find ourselves, instead of singing O Holy Night, we're really just kind of celebrating the nightmare before Christmas. Now, for many who faithfully celebrate consumer Christmas, Advent is the inevitable introduction to disappointment. For the majority of these folks, Christmas never measures up. You know, Christmas never measures up to those fantasies. Even for those who manage to have some of their Christmas wishes fulfilled, I mean, the season's over so quickly, and the need to make those New Year's resolutions comes fast and furious, or the need to lose those extra pounds or to dive into those New Year's renovations and restorations. And that just bears down on those who celebrate consumer Christian long before the decorations are packed away. It's why, for those who celebrate consumer Christmas, that it is the most depressing time of the year. Did you know that? For those who celebrate consumer Christmas, it's the most depressing time of the year. But the Advent we celebrate in the church, the one that has absolutely nothing to do with the number of shopping days until Xmas, is altogether different. The hanging of the greens, the placement of the creche, the lighting of the first Advent candle, all of these invite us to dream dreams of a better world. It allows us to have expectant visions that have absolutely nothing to do with sugar plum fairies dancing in our heads. Advent invites us to fill the cup of today with a full measure of the hope of tomorrow. Now, both the passage from Isaiah and the words of the Gospel of Matthew that Johnny read expresses the Christian hope for a brighter future. When the prophet Isaiah thought about the advent of God, he envisioned a world that was unified in the worship of God, committed to peace. Isaiah dreamed of a time when the nations and the people of the world would join together in recognizing the sovereignty of God and declare, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." In the world of Isaiah's vision, war was a thing of the past, and the nations of the earth were living together in peace. Now, you have to ask yourself, this first Sunday in Advent, what are the pictures that you get in your head when you think about Advent? Maybe you remember some kind of classic work of art showing the journey to Bethlehem, or maybe your default vision is the Nativity, or in the adoration of the Christ child, or maybe your traditional symbols of the season include huge, brightly lit trees, like the one that we see on the White House lawn or Rockefeller Center. The way we see and remember Advent and Christmas determines our approach to celebrating the season. Is the essential work of Advent to you hanging the decorations? Or is it more about opening your lives to the coming of Christ? Learning to live in peace in a world that has gone mad. Peace, if not in the world, at least in our hearts. Will Christmas only come if we do the right things at the right times to get ready for it? Or is Christmas a gift from God that arrives whether there's snow on the ground or whether we're ready or not? You know, even a casual reading of Scripture reminds us that Advent, the advent of God, is much more about surprise than about predictability. The advent of God is much more about revelation than decoration. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I look forward to all of these decorations and preparations as much as the next guy. And I love the opportunity to remember my loved ones who are not physically present with me at Christmas by putting poinsettias in the sanctuary in their memory. I just love that. And I'm a candle junkie. And I love them just sitting around in the windows. And I especially appreciate the chrismon tree with all those chrismons that were made by the former altar guild, now called the Circle of Friends. But the message of Advent is not put up the decorations, here I come, but it's watch and wait. Now, 2 weeks ago, we began to talk about the second coming in preparation for this very Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, which is also, by the way, the very first Sunday in the Christian church calendar. The message is this: you have to be ready, because the Son of Man is going to come at an hour that you do not expect. Surprise! You know, Christmas is going to come whether we get ready for it or not. And you need to hear that. You need to hear me say that. Christmas is going to come whether you're really ready for it or not. Surprise! Yeah. Christ is going to come, whether you're ready or not. Surprise! Now, I hear these words all the time, and I bet you do too. It can't be Advent already. I mean, what happened to Thanksgiving? I mean, I haven't even made my shopping list out. My daughter-in-law beat me up at Thanksgiving because I have most of my Christmas shopping done. It's something I learned from one of the saints in my old church many, many years ago. Christmas can't come yet, they say. You know, I haven't brought the decorations up from the basement yet. Christmas can't come. Why do we subconsciously assume that Christmas can only come if we make all the proper preparations for it? The truth of the matter is that God's entrance into our lives in the person of Jesus Christ happens because of God's initiative, not ours. Well, he didn't have anything to do with us. Christ arrives in our midst not as a reward somehow for our careful preparation for his coming. You know, okay, we're ready. You know, now you can come. He doesn't come because we're all ready. He comes as a result of the love and compassion of God himself. Christ comes whether we're ready or not. Surprise! Now, in the gospel reading that Johnny read from Matthew today, the disciples are talking to Jesus about the second coming. Now, they, of course, they want to know when it's going to happen. I mean, they want to be ready for it, right? No, really, not a lot of people like surprises. And Jesus reminded them of the familiar story of Noah. He reminded them that the disciples that in the days of Noah, people were just going about their everyday lives. They weren't thinking about God. I mean, they were living. They were doing the stuff. They were eating and they were drinking. They were marrying. They were celebrating. And suddenly, in those days, the rains came. And only Noah and his family were wise enough to listen to God's warning, to jump into that ark, which was a precursor of salvation. It's supposed to remind us of salvation. Jumping into Jesus. When Jesus comes, he told the disciples it's going to be just like that. Life's going to be going on as usual. People are going to be doing what they normally do. Buying and selling. Working and playing. Just doing ordinary stuff. And suddenly, without warning, there he's going to be. The Lord's going to return. And when that happens, here's either the good or bad news, depending on where you stand. Some will be ready and some will not. Now, some will be living, remembering Jesus' warning to be ready for the coming of the kingdom. But some won't remember, and others will have just started doing stuff that's more important. I mean, they're going to just be living lives. The folks who have forgotten or the ones who have disbelieved, they're going to be very, very disappointed on that day. Now, don't be confused about what Jesus is saying. The disciples asked about the timing of the second coming, and Jesus said, you know, that's really the wrong question that you're asking. That's not the right question that you should ask. The disciples' question should have been, what are we supposed to be doing in the meantime? Like, what are we supposed to be doing while we wait? What should we be doing while we wait for Christ to come back? We know he's coming, but, like, what do we do in the meantime? The important thing for us this Advent season is not when Jesus is coming back again, but what is going to be the quality of our waiting in the meantime. We are Philadelphian choir people, and I get that. We just love intrigue. I mean, that's just who we are. I mean, don't you just love, like gossip and a mystery, you know. And we love the unknown and we love the adventure. And because of that, we have this tendency to spend way too much time and energy concentrating on when Jesus is coming again. Because, you know, I mean, just go channel surfing some Sunday morning before worship and you will find at least one televangelist who will gladly tell you in a very convincing manner with scripture to back him up that this is the time that Jesus talked about in scripture, and the world is going to end any day now. You better be ready. And to a degree, that is correct. But as we have discussed before, you have to wonder if the doom and gloom folks have ever read the warning that Jesus gave the disciples here in Matthew's gospel. Did they ever read it? You know, most often, what is missing from their warning about death and destruction is the reminder to concentrate not on the future, but to concentrate on the present. We're supposed to be concentrating on the quality of the life we are living right now today. And a lot of times we miss that. Jesus doesn't call us to be passive and do nothing in our waiting. Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us, that the way we live right now in the world today, as Christian people, as Advent people, is serious business, and it counts. And it calls for intentional faith, and it calls for an active faith. Are we living our faith every day, or are we putting it on like a coat on a Sunday? Are we casting our nets so that we can save others from the fire and bring them into the kingdom? Isaiah reflected the same call. O house of Jacob, come let us walk in the light of the world. Walking isn't sitting. If you're walking, you're not still. If you are walking, you are not being passive. If you are walking, you are actually moving somewhere. Advent invites us to look into the future, but it invites us to look into the future with hope. But here is what Advent's most demanding challenge is, and its most exciting promise. And that's the announcement that the present is God's kingdom time too. And you know what? We don't like to think about that. It's always someday. But it isn't someday. It's now. It's today. The incarnation, God coming wrapped in skin, says that even today, even this day, is filled to overflowing with the presence of God. We need to pay attention. Now, whether you are one that considers the present day to be sunny and bright, I'm not so sure there's lots of those around. Whether you consider the day to be fair, to partly cloudy. Whether you consider the present day to be dismal and gloomy. God has sent and will send the Messiah to come and live in it. In other places, Matthew described the gift of the season of Advent with a single word, and this is a good word, and it's why we use it all the time during Advent, and that is Emmanuel. God with us. Not God has been with us, although he has. Not God will be with us, although he will. But God with us right now, today, this very minute. The message of Advent is that each moment of our lives has eternal significance. I cannot emphasize this enough. Every moment of your life has eternal significance. Live it well. The message of Advent is that the God of all things past and all things future is also the God of the here and now. And God challenges us to live in the present and to do it well and to do it for his glory. But he also challenges us to live in expectation with our eyes on the eastern sky, because when we least expect it, surprise, Christ is going to crash in to those everyday lives. And so this morning, Advent is here. It is time to pay attention to the quality of our waiting. Are you passively vegging and hanging out, waiting for the end to come? Or are you walking in the light of the world, the light of the Lord, while we actively wait for him to show up in person? You have to ask yourself, am I walking in the light, or I'm just hanging out? Jesus told us that the kingdom of God is breaking in. And I always thought that those were curious words. The kingdom of God is breaking in. And all of Jesus' preaching and teaching is aimed at helping us understand what the kingdom of God is like. Now, if you are one that takes the kingdom of God seriously, the way Jesus taught it, you know that he clearly explained that our work isn't over when we just preach, repent, and be saved. That's not the end of it. Jesus is coming soon. That's not the end of it either. There is a whole lot more to the gospel than that. Kingdom living is not just a simple matter that can be summed up in some kind of cliche or some kind of pious talk. Advent challenges us to hear and believe the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. And that challenge doesn't call us to be so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly good. The challenge doesn't call us to be so starry-eyed over the future that we overlook the present. Advent reminds us that God breaks into our lives unexpectedly, but he's already here. Now, we don't know what time this is going to be or the day of our next run-in with the Holy Spirit. Okay, we don't know that. And not only that, we can't predict that run-in with the Holy Spirit is going to be a joyful experience of forgiveness and peace, or if the Holy Spirit is going to smack us in the face with a call to repentance and responsibility, because that happens too. And we don't even know if it's going to be some combination of the two, which it usually is. But what we can be sure of, it's coming. So we should be actively ready, actively waiting, living every day for Jesus, not just on Sunday, putting our faith on like a coat. And we should be casting a net, because God cares about those who are perishing as well. So now, the greens have been hung, the candles are in the windows, the creche is in its traditional place, the first Advent candle has been lit. It is beginning to look a lot like Christmas, as the song says. But ask yourself if you're really ready for it yet. Because that's what Advent is for. To prepare our hearts and our lives and our minds for the coming of God in skin. I, for one, am praising God there's 4 Sundays in Lent. Because it's going to take me that long to humble myself before the throne. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we do thank you for the 4 Sundays of Lent that doesn't throw us into Christmas before we have time to quiet ourselves before your throne. And we thank you, Father, that the coming again of your Son is going to be a surprise, because we don't want to know, but we want to live our lives well, and we want to live waiting well with our eye on the eastern sky. We pray it in his name. Amen. Take this moment in time, because the first Sunday is Advent, it's a really good time to do this. Take this moment in time to just think about where you have fallen away and how the Lord has not been on the top of your list and how worship has not been a priority and about how that has totally messed up your life. And take that moment to switch stuff around. Examine your conscience and say, Lord, I'm not much, but all I am is yours. Fix me, I give you permission.